The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont, maker of better things for better living through chemistry, presents Dean Jagger in Nine Men Against the Arctic. Before we begin our show, here's news of an invention from a DuPont research laboratory. DuPont paint technicians have developed a new instrument called a profilograph, so delicate that it will draw the outline of a film of paint only 1/50th the thickness of a dime. By pointing out the lows and highs in a film of paint, the profilograph helps DuPont paint laboratories to supply better finishes to the Army and the Navy. Tonight, the Cavalcade of America presents Dean Jagger in an authentic documentary story as starkly dramatic as the courage of the men who enacted it in real life. You will hear from one of these men, Lieutenant W.F. O'Hara, at the end of our play. Our scene is the great ice cap of Greenland, a wilderness of ice as far as the eye can see. Our radio play was written by Paul Peters, and in the role of Captain Armand L. Monteverdi, it stars Dean Jagger.
Over the ice cap of Greenland zoomed an American B-17 Flying Fortress, searching for an Army transport plane long overdue. It circled the ice cap in vain and started down the eastern coast. As the weather closed in, Captain Armand L. Monteverdi anxiously turned to his co-pilot, Lieutenant Harry E. Spencer.
You know, Spence, I don't like this place.
Sure is a long way from Texas.
They can't see anything. All this whiteness everywhere. No horizon. How high are we, anyhow?
Well, I reckon we're plenty high, but can't be sure. Like flying through milk.
Yeah, it is. I don't like... What exploded?
Sounds like a supercharger to me.
You know what I think, Spence? I think we're... Spence.
Okay.
Spence, are you hurt?
Let me feel my legs first.
Well, how could we crash, Spence? We had altitude, didn't we?
Just thought we had.
Well, what about the crew? Come on back to the bomb bay. Great Scott, look at that fuselage.
Well, it's busted smack in half.
O'Hara, Lieutenant O'Hara, are you all right?
Yes, sir, I think so, but everything back here is smashed to pieces.
Call her roll, Spence.
Chicharroni.
Yeah.
Sir, how you hurt?
I'm just kind of bumped up, sir.
Hollis?
Arm's lame, sir.
Broken?
No, sir. Just Charlie horsed, I guess.
Waddell?
Feels like I got a shiner on my left eye, sir. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Best?
I think I cut my head a bit, sir.
Take a look at him, O'Hara.
Ferrier?
Best as a fiddle.
Spina? Where's Spina?
There he is. But he's knocked out cold.
What?
Well, he's alive, though.
Looks like his arm's broken.
Get a blanket for him. How you feeling, Spina?
My hands. Ow!
Here, let me see that arm. Does this hurt?
A little.
Don't say a little. If it hurts, holler.
It hurts.
It's a multiple fracture above the wrist.
Let me rig up a splint for him.
Yeah, all right, Spence, thanks. Best.
Yeah.
Hang up a tarpaulin to keep out the wind.
Yes, sir.
Howarth, collect the rations.
Yes, sir.
Now, look, fellas. Now, being stranded on an ice cap in a 40-below blizzard is as new to me as it is to you. So, look, we'll just have to get together and work out our problems that way.
Well, can't we communicate with our base?
Radio smashed. Howarth and I'll start taking on it in the morning. How long do you think we'll be out here, sir?
Well, we can't be more than 25 or 30 miles from a weather station. I'd say 2 or 3 days, 5 at the most.
Boy, when I get back to Waco, I'm going to strip my backyard and just soak up that good Texas sun.
You Texans, in California, you don't have to go in a backyard for sun.
I think we ought to turn in, Captain. We can keep pretty warm if we wrap up in parachutes and huddle together.
Yeah, O'Hara is right, man. It's 3 o'clock now and the sun is going down. right, find yourself a roost and perch. Shut eye, everybody.
All right.
And tomorrow we'll look the joint over. Say, if you've got to get up at night, don't step on the body.
For 3 days, the Willowaw wind held them locked like a jailer in that frozen plain. Snow blew into their shelter and sifted into the seams of their clothing. Damp and cold, they waited the Arctic to relax its grip. But the fourth day dawned bright and clear.
Well, it's pretty all right.
Yeah, like living in a box of rock candy.
Yeah. Time I get out of here, I reckon I'll have seen enough snow to last me the rest of my life.
Well, let's take a walk around and see what we can see, huh?
Take you up on that. Be back soon, Monty.
All right, don't go far now. On outside, man. Everybody outside. The wind's gone down. Hunt around in the snow and collect all supplies.
Oh, it sure takes your wind.
Yeah, and my feet are numb. Like walking on stilts.
Yep. Where are you from, O'Hara?
Pennsylvania. Scranton.
Married?
No. Just got out of college. You?
Yes, sir. 3 months. Name's Patsy. Cute as a bug. Little, but oh, my, oh, my. Mrs. Lieutenant Harry E. Spencer. That's what the mailman calls her. Mail for Mrs. Lieutenant Harry E.
Oh! Hey, Monty! Monty, come here, quick!
What's the matter?
Well, Spence, he just disappeared. A hole opened and he disappeared.
I'll hold everything. I'll be right there.
Spence! Hey, Spence, are you down there?
Yeah. Can you see me?
Well, how far down are you?
About 100 feet. Over here. On this ledge.
Oh, okay, I see you. Hey, take it easy. That ledge doesn't look too solid.
Don't you worry. I ain't breathing.
How far is it to the bottom?
Bottom? Ain't no bottom. It's a big black hole down the center of the earth. Hurry up and get me out of here.
All right, Spence, just keep quiet. Here comes Monty and the crew with a pile of rope.
Well, I got 100 feet of parachute shroud lines. How far down is he?
Well, that ought to make it. Here, Best, you're from Texas. Make a sling harness.
Give me here.
You'll have to watch these ice crevasses. They're covered with snow. You step on them and bang, down you go, like falling down an elevator shaft.
Try this. I know it's good for steers.
All right, Spence. Slip this harness on. Here it comes. You see it?
Keep on coming.
Will it reach?
Swing a little. Uh-oh.
You got it?
Man, I'm going right out of it. Okay. Hoist away.
All right, take it easy now, man. All right. Pull. 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 I'd hold it a minute. You all right, Spence?
Well, rope is slicing hamburger off my rib, but... just keep on pulling.
All right, man, once more. Pull. 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 Pull.
Oh, boy. Don't let me down now.
We won't let you down, Spence. Here, can you reach my hand?
Yeah. I got it.
All right. Now, up.
Good boy, Spence! Good boy!
You're hurt anyway, Spence.
How'd it feel, Lieutenant?
Feel? Like falling in a cube compartment. Great big refrigerator.
Yowie! Next time I go underground, I want it to be deep in the heart of Texas. Yeah.
Five days, 6 days, 8 days, 10 days. With tireless patience, they thawed out their radio, patched it up, and sent their anxious voices ringing over the frozen air to the nearest weather station. Back came the reassuring answer.
Cheer up, men. We're sending sleds and dog teams to save you. We'll have you here in no time.
Out of a bomb site, they built a stove to thaw their rations. With wires, they secured the tail of their plane to the forward part. When they discovered their shelter slipping into a crevasse that yawned at their very door. O'Hara's feet were now frozen and he had to be put to bed beside the injured Spina. Filled with hope, beset by problems, they fought the elements. And then came Thanksgiving.
Another helping of that turkey, please.
You will have a half a ration K and like it.
Would you consider me a hog if I asked for just a little bit more of that chestnut dressing?
Oh, Lieutenant, cut it out.
What's the matter, Waco? Your stomach weak? When I think of the way Patsy
Keep
used to cook
those... Excuse me, Lieutenant. I keep hearing a motor.
Go on, Howarth. That's just the electric fan in the parlor.
You mean the oil furnace in the basement, don't you?
But don't it, I do hear a motor.
Yeah.
It's an airplane. Listen, I tell you. Hey!
See?
Hey, I told you so.
Come on, let's...
Hey, look out. You're stepping on a Harris.
Hey, Tutanoni, take your mittens. You want to breathe your hand?
It's a C-54.
Boy, Hope. Boy, ain't that pretty.
Look, he's wagging his wings at us.
Yeah. I think he's dropping something.
It's falling on the other side of the crevasse.
Inside, Howarth, get that radio going. Wait, I'll go with you.
C-54, come in. Come in, C-54.
This is C-54. E-17 on the ice cap. Do you hear me?
We hear you, C-54. Go ahead.
This is Colonel Bernd Borchen speaking. Is Captain Monteverdi there?
It's Bernd Borchen, Arctic Explorer. Here's the mic.
Thanks. This is Captain Monteverdi. Just be careful, Colonel. We're surrounded on all sides by deep crevasses.
Can't land anyhow. Wind's too high. I've dropped rations, Arctic clothes, and a primer stove. Can you reach the mountain?
No, they fell on the other side of the vases.
All right. I'll circle back and drop some more.
Well, fly low, Colonel. You'll have to do precision bombing.
Right. I'll come down to 200 feet. How are your two injured men?
Well, Spina's wrist is healing, but O'Hara...
Tell him I'm all right.
I'm afraid O'Hara's feet frozen. We've got to get him out of here.
We have your precise location now. The dog teams couldn't make it, but we are sending out a motored sled. And there's a Coast Guard cutter headed for the nearest shore with a Grumman amphibian aboard. We'll get there. You've got to be patient.
That's all we've got, Colonel. Patience. But don't make it too long, please.
Right. I'm signing off now. Fog rolling in. So long. Good luck.
They fished round in the snow for those precious rations. Canned chicken, sausage, soup, and a carton of candy bars. The tea and sugar were scrambled, but they strained them apart with mosquito netting from a jungle kit. American ingenuity found use for even a jungle kit in the Arctic. November 29th, a hopeful day. By sled, by boat, by plane, rescuers approaching.
Try again. We've got to reach them, Howarth. We've got to.
B-17 calling Grumman amphibian. B-17 calling Grumman amphibian. Come in, please. Grumman, come in.
This is Lieutenant John A. Pritchard on the Grumman amphibian from Coast Guard Cutter Clinton. Can we come down, B-17? B-17, can we come down?
Captain, he wants to know if he can come down.
Tell him no.
Don't land, Lieutenant. Ice crevasses all around.
How about further up? Safe there?
No.
You can't come down, Lieutenant.
his skis?
No.
Captain Monteverdi says no, Lieutenant. He's going away, sir.
Yes. He's going away.
You are listening to The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont, presenting Dean Jagger as Captain Monteverdi of the United States Army Air Corps in Nine Men Against the Arctic. As our play continues, nine Army flyers marooned on the Greenland ice cap where their plane crashed have just watched a rescue plane turn back after Captain Monteverdi advised them that a landing would be sheer suicide.
But 1 hour later...
Oh! Huh? Hey, did you hear that? Say, they're outside.
Somebody's calling.
They're here.
For you, this is going to be a welcome. Come on.
Hey.
Yes, I am Monteverdi.
I'm Lieutenant Pritchard from the Grumman Amphibian. I came down a mile away. Took an hour to walk it.
You shouldn't have landed, Lieutenant. You may not be able to take off again.
I'll have to move fast before the floats freeze in. Two are all I can carry, Captain.
You... only two.
I'll be back again. Besides, a couple of motor sleds are coming over the ice cap for you. They ought to be here by midnight. Well, are you ready, Captain?
No, not me, Lieutenant. I want to get my sick men out.
Can they walk it in this wind? We'll have to test for crevasses every inch of the way.
Yes, I guess you're right. Tushironi.
Yes, sir.
You feel strong enough to walk that mile?
Captain, I never felt stronger in my life.
All right, Pierre, how about you?
Captain, I'm a born walker.
All right, Lieutenant. There you are. They're your men. You better get going.
Bye, Captain. I'll be back soon.
Hey, Tucheroni.
Yeah?
Send a wire to my folks in La Crosse.
Don't forget, Pierre. This is Lieutenant Harry E. Spencer in Dallas.
November 30th. Pritchard came back in the Grumman, but Monteverdi saw a fog rolling in and sent Howarth, the farm boy, to warn him to take off at once. Howarth was to fly back with Pritchard. They wagged their wings merrily as they soared over the camp and crashed to instant death 5 minutes later. Now only the sleds remained, but they did arrive. At 1 a.m., manned by Lieutenant Demarest of the weather station and Staff Sergeant Don Tetley. Next morning...
O'Hara and Spinner ready to go?
Yeah, I got them bundled up like papooses.
Spence.
Hmm?
Spence, do you see something?
No, Hey, there's only one sled now.
Hey! Bell on it! Quick!
Everybody, step on it. Waddell, bring some rope.
Tetley, what's happened? Where's Demarest?
Gone, huh? Just like that, it disappeared. Sled, no.
Hang on to me. I'll look over there.
Look out, Monty. You go in.
Hang on to my legs.
You see anything, Captain?
Just the tail end of the tow sled.
How far down?
It's about 200 feet.
We'll never get him out.
Demarest! Can you answer, Demarest?
He's gone. Just a minute ago,
he... quiet. Demarest! It's no use.
No, let me down on the rope, sir.
No. We've been out here 3 weeks, man. We haven't the strength.
Well, can't we do something, sir? A rope ladder, maybe.
Where are we getting enough rope?
Well, we can't just leave him there. He'd give up a good job to come out here. He knew Greenland. He loved it. Now Greenland's taken his life.
Come on, boy. Come back to camp.
storms and blizzards. Not even Pappy Turner, the veteran Greenland pilot who dropped them rations, could fly. Food ran low. O'Hara, sickened with gangrene feet, began to waste away. Still the blizzard hemmed them in. Silently, each by himself, they fought despair. December. January. January 7th. At last, a still, clear day. With O'Hara snug in a sleeping bag on the sled, Spencer, Tetley, and Waddell were trudging behind, taking him out to safety.
You know, I've been thinking. This war's over. I'm going to buy me a farm.
Farm's nice if you like it, Waddell.
Yeah, I like it. Wife's going to have a baby sometime this month. Yeah. He'll like it, too.
Yeah. Warm enough, O'Hara?
Warm?
Yeah.
I'm warm.
How far did you say we've gone?
A mile, maybe.
Hey!
Waddell, look out! Press there!
I can't hold it! I'm slipping!
Tetley, quick! Gun the sled ahead. Hey, I think the sled's safe here. Let's go back and look for him.
See anything?
Not a chance. Pritchard, Hart, and Demarest, now Waddell. Greenland. She's eat this up one by one.
Wife's going to have a baby sometime this month. Going to buy a farm when he gets back.
Yeah. Little Harris fast asleep.
Hey, what's this brown stuff on the snow?
Looks like oil to me.
What do you know about that? Feed lines busted.
Well, can't we fix it?
I doubt it. You ask me, this sled's finished.
Well, what do we do now?
Dig in, make a snow house, wait.
Wait, wait, wait. That's all we do, wait.
How much can a human being endure? January passed in an agony of blizzards. February in wind drifts and nights of ruthless cold. March, spring equinox, and the days going out. O'Hara delirious. Monteverde suffering from frostbite. Spina's arm healed, but he was weak and helpless. How much suffering can that bundle of muscle, nerve, and brain we call a man endure? April 5th. A Catalina flying boat dropped out of the sky. Her wheels retracted. Her wing floats lowered.
Captain Monteverde.
Colonel Balchin.
Took us a long time, Captain, but we got here.
Well, that's the main thing, Colonel. You got here.
We want you and your men to drop everything now, Captain. We'll tuck you in and take care of you.
I guess we won't object to that, Colonel. We're just so darn tired of fighting.
Thank you, Dean Jagger. A little later, our star will return to introduce Lieutenant O'Hara, one of the real-life heroes of tonight's dramatization. Meanwhile, we want to tell you how chemical rubber is helping to defend American cities and war industry centers from hostile aircraft attack. For the first time, barrage balloons now float in the sky over vital points in American cities. They call them rubber cows, and they do look a bit like cows, but They aren't made of natural rubber. And in that fact, there's a story we think will interest you. 2 years ago, the task of training men to handle barrage balloons was handed to the Coast Artillery. A training center was established, balloons were tested, and specifications given to manufacturers. When the Army was reorganized in March a year ago, the anti-aircraft troops were given the barrage balloons as one of their anti-aircraft weapons. That's what they are, a defensive weapon. Their cables